new Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Bubba. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed wheeze whirlpool. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
So, yes, get on with the laughs. Are you ready, fellas?
Ready.
Okay.
Okay. A little late, but right in there anyway, Senator. Here's the first joke of the evening, and it comes from Mrs. Lois Tatera of Tacoma, Washington, and it's on the subject of something I hope none of you need. Help. Help.
I'll tell you after this round.
So, to paraphrase a word, Pete, don't let them make a sucker out of you.
Well, I don't know how many of you fellas let your wife help you pick out your clothes, but this is about a wife decide to help her husband buy a new suit. So they went to one of our fine New York tailors, a place by the name of Finchley Fafufnik. And they walked in and the boss came out. They said, hello, hello, hello. He says, what could I done for you? So the wife took right over. She said, well, my husband would like to purchase a suit. He said, right, a suit. He said, you came to the right individual, honey cook. He says, I'll make your husband a suit. He says, he'll look gorgeous. He says, he'll look like a regular little Lord Feitelbaum. Don't worry about it. He says, here, I got a snappy tweed. She said, oh, no, no, my husband, that makes him look stout. He said, you don't like a tweed. How about a worsted? She says, oh, no, no worsted. He says, right, he says, maybe like a shark skin. I'll skin the shark personally for you. She said, oh, no, no, that doesn't suit my husband. He says, you know, your husband is very choosy considering he ain't opened his mouth yet. Let me see what I'll get here. He said, I'll make him an ipsy-tipsy gabardine, beautiful, gorgeous. She says, oh, no, gabardine. Well, he says, you got the urge for a surge? She says, no, no surge. He says, a Cheviot is too heavy yet? She says, no, no. He says, look, as a last resort, here's a suit made of 100% cheesecloth. How's that? So the husband brightens up for the first time. He says, well, that's not bad, but I don't care very much for the pants. The fellow says, the pants? From what I've heard up to now, all you'll be wearing is the coat and vest.
Well, Pete, that seems to suit everybody, as a matter of fact.
$1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Giving an automatic $25 to Mrs. Tatera and putting our three wits at their wits' end, to kern a phrase. But let's see if they can't tie it at least. Two hands are upraised, and the first one seems to be little Joe Laurie Jr.
Well, this woman comes into a lady friend of hers. She says, you gotta help me. She says, help you with what? Gotta help me keep my husband. Oh, he goes out and he never comes in and nothing. Oh, I don't know what to do. She says, no wonder you can't keep him. Look at you. You dress so slovenly. Look at your hair. You don't comb your hair. You're hardly washed up or anything. She says, sit down. I'll fix you up. So she combs her hair and fixes her up beautiful. Puts her makeup on her and gives. She says, look, I'll give you one of my beautiful gowns. So she puts her gown on her and she looks beautiful. And she sits there. About 12 o'clock that night, the husband walks in, takes one look at her, goes over and punches her right in the nose and says, who you been waiting for?
Well, Joe, that's what we've been waiting for.
$1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
We received it in spades. That gives us a perfect round thus far, and Harry Hirschfield is stepping right in.
Well, I heard a screwball gag today that fits the subject of help. There's a gangster killed about 40 guys. They finally got him. And he got one of those good lawyers, you know who. On the direct examination, the guy was convicted immediately. Got the electric chair. 3 weeks later, he's going into the chamber for the electric chair, and the warden said, would you like to have something to say before you go? He said, yeah, I'd like to talk to my lawyer. So they put in a wire quick. He gets the lawyer on the phone. He said, they brought me in here to the electric chair. Here's the electric chair. And they cut the leg, you know, my pants on my left leg, and they shaved my head. What'll I do? The guy says, the first thing, you shouldn't sit down.
Well, Harry, you can sit out after that one. That was
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
And the perfect round continues. We look now over to the nether region.
The perfect round, and he looks at me.
Well, come on in, Senator.
Perfect,
the water's
fine. Well, anyway, that story that Pete told reminds me of your experience this week, Ward.
What's that?
Maybe you'd rather tell it yourself, but Ward has a new suit. When he went in to look at some goods, the tailor showed him something, and Ward looked at it, and he says, "What is this?" The tailor said, "That's herringbone." And Ward said, "It looks kind of dirty." He said, "I know, it's smoked herringbone."
You want me to credit that to me or you, Senator?
You can take it if it's worth it.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
So for the first time tonight, we have a solid round of 1,000. Well, let's get along with a brand new joke now and a brand new set of answers, we hope. Here's the joke which was sent in by Mrs. Harry Rosenthal of Troy, New York. And the subject of this joke is no joke, in New York particularly, traffic. Traffic. So, Peter, if it's up to you, we'll have a little with you.
Well, this is a couple of fellas they've been celebrating a bit this evening. They're spending the whole evening down at the old corner drunk store, and they're getting a little loaded, and finally it gets time for them to go home. So they stagger out to their car, they get in the car, and they start driving home. Very woozy. So finally they get in the heart of town, and there's one of those traffic circles there that we all have. So the driver starts around the traffic circle, only instead of getting off anywhere, he keeps going around. So he keeps driving around and around this circle. Half an hour and a half. Keeps driving around this thing. All of a sudden, his companion taps him on the arm. He says, Charlie. Hey, Charlie. Hey, Charlie. He says, what do you want? He says, let's get off of this thing. It's a fake. I've had my arm out the window the last 40 times around. I haven't caught a brass ring yet.
Well, needless to say, you didn't catch one then either, Pete.
650 is what the laugh meter registered, Ward.
For the first time this evening, our three wits have a little latitude in which to work. Now, all three hands are up, so let's...
live in New York. We ought to know something about traffic.
I was going to suggest the same thing, Senator. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and so we'll listen to little Senator Ford.
Well, I don't know. These are not jokes. I can just talk on traffic, you know, make some comment on it.
Would you let me know when?
What?
Will you let me know when?
When I finish, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I don't know if you folks remember, some of you must, when the traffic lights were first installed in New York City, there was a set of three traffic lights. There was a red light for stop, the green light for going, and there was an orange light in the center for change. But they only have the two lights now because the Irish cops in New York wouldn't stand for that orange light. It seems that every time they looked at that orange light, they saw red, and it was confusing. Now they're trying to get rid of the red one. All they want is that one green light. Then it'll be every man for himself. Well, you know the way things are in New York City with the traffic going uptown, cross-town, left and right-hand turns. It's very hard to get across some streets. I know a fella, he got halfway across a street, and he was marooned there. He couldn't get back, and he couldn't go forward. And if airplanes hadn't dropped food on him, he'd have starved at that.
Well, you should say now, Senator.
Now.
Okay.
850 on the laugh meter for that joke, Ward.
So that does top Mrs. Rosenthal's 650. However, she still has her original $10, which she started out with in her lily white hand. And let's see what's going to happen as Harry Hirschfield moves in.
Well, the Senator's right. A lot of traffic jokes. I want to toss one in first. It's one of the shortest traffic stories I know. It's about one taxi driver says to the other, how do you keep your car so shiny? He says, I keep pushing it through the crowd. I think this is a kind of a new story. A fella finally gets a car, and he's so happy. Never had a car before, but he got a car. See? And soon as he got the car, he didn't wait for the license, for lessons, and he invited a friend to come out and have a ride with him. So he took a few drinks, too. He wasn't sure of himself. Took some drinks, and the fella got in the car with him, and right away starts in traffic. Right away, nearly hits a truck. Nearly goes into a building. Nearly goes into Holland Tunnel. And finally, it starts to sleet and snow. And it gets all on the windshield. You can't see a thing. Sleet and snow. And finally, the fella gets his breath. The other guy that's riding with him and says, I think it would help a lot if you'd clean off the windshield. He said, wouldn't help at all. I left my glasses at home.
one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
Once again, topping Mrs. Rosenthal's 650, so she's still clutching that $10, and Joe Lurie Jr. comes
in next. Nice spot for Joe. Now, this old gentleman, try to pass 42nd Street and 5th Avenue. Try to pass the street, and a car comes along in that traffic and hits him. Well, the next thing he knows, he's in the hospital, and he wakes up, and his lawyer is there. He says, "You okay?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I want you to get after those fellas." Those automobile people, those fellas that drive cars, they're morons. They're terrible people. Half of them don't own the place. They don't own their own car or nothing. They hit anybody. They'll kill people. They'll do anything. He says, "All right, I'll see what I can do." He says, "Get after them. A lot of morons, a lot of dopes." So 2 weeks later, he comes back. He says, "Well, I settled a case for you." "So what'd you do?" He says, $2,000. "Here." The guy paid $2,000. "Here you are." He says, "Thanks." He says, "What are you going to do with all that money?" He says, "What am I going to do? Buy an automobile."
It almost made it. But only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
Well, should I have the car hit it? Fine, that's it.
Should have made the last payment.
That joke Joe just told kind of reminds me that, you know, pedestrians... When a driver is considerate of pedestrians, they don't quite understand it. A cop walked over to a driver in a car who was parked right near a man who was lying on the pavement. And he said, "How'd you knock that guy down?" Driver says, "I didn't knock him down." He said, "He started across the street and I stopped and let him pass and he fainted."
More truth in that than poet. Oh, Harry Hirschfield is reminded of one by your last.
Time for a short.
Go ahead, Harry.
A girl calls up her boyfriend, says, "You better stay away for a long while. Don't come back to the house." Says, "What's the matter?" Says, "Pop found out that we took his car out for joyriding." Said, "How'd he find out?" Says, "We hit him."
Joe, are you sure that didn't remind you of another one?
No.
Okay, then I can
let the traffic go on.
All the boys will be back with another round of fun after a word from our sponsor.
Well, here we go with a fresh start, and our next joke comes from Walter M. Salt of Berwick, Pennsylvania. And the subject of this round is something I know you've all made, and I hope if you have kept, promise. Promise. So, 1,000, Pete, promise?
little Irishman by the name of Pat Mulvaney used to do electrical repair work, and he had a little shop. And so one day, a customer comes in, and he's furious. He says, "Mulvaney, when somebody recommended this place, they told me you were reliable. You kept your promise. Now, I'm pretty well fed up." He says, "You promised to come to my house yesterday, fix our doorbell." And he says, "My wife and I deliberately stayed in all day to be sure to be able to greet you when you got there. And you never showed up. Now, I'm fed up. I'm going to tell everybody in town." So little Mulvaney says,
"Now, wait a minute. No, don't get so excited. Don't get exasperated." He says, "I'll have you know, me dear young man, that I went to your house yesterday to mend your bell, and there wasn't a living soul in the place." The
fella said, "Wasn't anybody in the house? How can you say that?"
He says, "How can I say it? Because I pushed the bell for half an hour and nobody answered."
Well, you almost rang the bell with that one.
900 is the final score in the laugh meter award.
Three wits a minimum of latitude to work around in. They're all getting anxious now. There's 900. There's a chance. Well, Mr. Salt starts out with $10. Let's see what our three wits are going to do about increasing his worldly gains. And I think the first hand up this time belongs to Senator Ford.
Well, the gag that Pete told is one similar to that. I hope it hits more than 950. But anyway, this furniture repair man was asked to go to a house to repair some antique furniture. And he took Dopey Dildock with him, who was then an apprentice. And Dopey, as you know, his name will tell you what he is. He's a first-class quarter wit. He doesn't know half the time his way home. Well, anyway, they got there, and the boss started to mix up the glue and put it in the glue pot. And he said to Dopey, he says, "Now I have to go back to the shop to get some tools I forgot." And he says, "Now you watch when this glue boils over." So the boss comes back in about a half hour or so, and the glue is all over a Persian rug. It has boiled all over the place. So the boss says to Dopey, "Didn't I tell you to watch when that glue boiled over?" And Dopey said, "I did. It was exactly a quarter after 10.
A A very good joke, Senator, and a...
1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Meter, if I'm to construe the fact that he promised to stay there and watch it, was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just
want
to remind...
You heard him. You want me to go over the gag? Show you where he promised.
I didn't hear the word
promise. Remember, he promised to watch when the glue boiled over.
All right.
It was a quarter after 10.
Next time. Was that Eastern Standard Time? Well, that 1,000 stays in the books and tops Mr. Salt's original 900. And now, Joe Laurie, Jr., second.
Well, Mrs. Urbinowitz is dying. And she takes her hand, she says, Cecil... She says, I'm dying, she says, and I'm afraid that you're going to get married again and forget all about me. She says, something tells me to forget all about me. I want you to promise one thing. He says, what? Promise, please, to keep my grave green. Always keep my grave green. Promise me that. He says, listen, honey, I will keep your grave green if I have to paint it.
Joe, you painted a pretty picture with that one.
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
Which, once again, tops Mr. Salt's 900, so he's still stuck with that original 10 clams. And, Harry Hirschfield, how about you?
Alexander Wolcott was a great storyteller, and he had a story in the papers a few days ago, an anecdote. It was about a chorus girl that married a big Broadway playboy. And this guy was a stew. He was a drinker. He was something awful. Oh, but she had a secret marriage with him, and the only one who knew about this secret marriage was another chorus girl. So the next day, this chorus girl says to this bride, you promised Walter Winchell that if you got married, you'd be the first to let him know. You're going to let him know? He says, no.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
So, all three of you topped Mr. Salt's original 900. So the 10 that he started with is the 10 that he finishes with our compliments.
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor.
Back to jokes once again, and here's one sent in by Ray Kaiser of Osceola, Indiana, and it's on the subject of Tenant. In New York City. Tenant. T-E-N-A-N-T.
Oh, what a landlord.
People who,
lives on.
Yeah.
People who live in houses when they can find them. So, Pete, rent is your best interest right now, will you?
Yeah, this happened down south in the mountain country, and one day one of the boys down there, Zeb McCoy, walked in the sheriff's office, and he said, hi, Sheriff, how be you? So the sheriff said, how does Zeb, what's on your mind? Well, Sheriff, I'm having trouble with my tenant. It's that old Dink Haley. It's old Dink, he says, who rents that farm for me up on the hill. He won't pay his rent this month.
You mean old Dink who's been living up on the side of the hill so long he's got a spit on the bias, the old man up there?
He says, yeah, I want you to serve a summons on that man and get my rent for me.
Well, it says, okey-doke, I'll just draw up a little sapuni and I'll get that money for you. Or my name ain't J. Edgar Dickenbacher. Now, don't worry about it.
So he draws up this summons and he climbs all the way up the hill. And the old man up there, old Dink, sees him coming, so he locks the door to the farmhouse. So the sheriff is smart. He shoves the summons under the door. And old Dink gets the bellows from the fireplace and he blows it out again.
Sheriff said, well, that's funny. I'll shove it under again.
Pushes it under again. The guy with the bellows blows it out again. So this keeps on. The sheriff keeps pushing it under the door, and the old guy's blowing it out again. Finally, the sheriff runs back to the landlord. He says, Zeb, you dang fool. I don't blame that old man. I wouldn't pay my rent either if I lived in a drafty house like that.
1,000 on the left here.
Mr. Kaiser is the beneficiary of $25 automatically through your efforts. Our three wits once more are taxed to the extreme. And the first one who seems to want to offer is Harry Hirschfield.
Ex-Governor Harold Hoffman, one of the great humorists, told one of the circus saints and sinners the other day about the fellow that said, I hear, Professor, you got a new tenant right next to you. He's a musician. He says, yes, night and day plays. I have never seen such a man interested in music. He eats music. He sleeps music. He dreams music. I wish to heaven he could read music.
850 on the laugh meter for that joke, Ward.
Yeah, it's very close to 1,000, but doesn't tie or top Mr. Kaiser. So let's drift over to your right and pick up little Joe Laurie Jr.
Well, Montgomery hires rents a place out in Hollywood with a swimming pool and all. And, of course, he asks his friend over. And they go over there a couple of weeks then. Finally, his friend says, I don't like your swimming pool, Montgomery. He says, you don't like my swimming pool? It's got water in it. He says, yeah, you're paying for the water? He says, yeah. He says, there's not enough water in the place. There's not enough. He says, there's enough water to swim in. He says, listen, Montgomery, I drink more water than that when I take an aspirin tablet. He says, I was here last week and I didn't like the swimming pool either. He says, that's so. You didn't like it either last week. He says, then why did you come back this week? He says, I wanted to wash the other foot.
$1,000 on the lap beat award.
Oh, which definitely ties Mr. Kaiser, but doesn't top him. His 25 is still as safe as if it was in government bonds, and so far we haven't heard from Senator Ford.
Well, a man and wife were looking at an apartment. You can see this is pure fiction. They were looking at this apartment, and they looking through the bedrooms, and the wife said, this bedroom here is very narrow. So the husband said, give that one to your mother. She's the narrowest-minded old battle axe I ever saw.
The laugh meter registered 800 for that one, Ward.
I got a shorty.
Sure. Go ahead, Joe.
A fella moves into an apartment, and he calls his friend in. He says, look, I fixed it all up myself. Look, that's all beaver board. That's all beaver board. Look at those petitions. All beaver board. He says, beaver board? He says, why is it so lumpy? He says, real beavers.
Fair enough. It did plenty good, Joe, but none of you three wits...
Say, Ward,
Mr. Kaiser, yeah.
I have a short one.
All right, go
I
ahead.
Wasn't scratching my ear. I was holding my hand up.
I thought you were waving at someone in the audience.
They're the same couple that I was talking about that went to look at this apartment. They didn't take that apartment. They took another one. They went and looked at another one. So they looked around, and the wife said to the landlord, we have to have a den. Landlord said, what do you want a den for? So my husband has to have some place to growl in.
That was the one. Then they took
Well, you
another...
know about Daniel and the lion's den? It's different between the lions now and the lion's den.
Oh. It's the Leonard lions now or something.
You heard about the fellow that complained about having a little bit of an apartment?
Yeah.
He says, look, I got a Murphy bed and a Morris chair, and the apartment is so small, the Murphy bed woke up one morning with a dialect.
And so that ends another session of Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford. Join us next week, same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Edward Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long, and take care of yourself until we meet again next time.